wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Hey. And if you got your Bibles, go ahead with me to Luke 1. Luke 1, starting in verse 46. We're talking about Mary today. We're having a sermon series on these four characters of Christmas. Talk about Zacharias, John the Baptist died last week, Mary this week, Joseph the coming week, and then Jesus the last week before we... Actually, the day of Christmas we're talking about Jesus. How appropriate is that? But we're in Luke 1 today talking about Mary and how she had a godly fear of God. And this is what she said in Luke 1, starting in verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord." And that's our goal. We're going to glorify the Lord today. We're going to do that together. We're going to see children bring us a gospel message at Christmas time. Alex has joined us for worship as well. And so we're appreciative of all the things that are going on today in regard to our Lord's birth and his death. Let's pray together. God, we give you praise for being kind to us. You're kind to us, God, because you chose to send your son to die for us. But first he had to be born. And so Christmas time is a time to remind us that Jesus chose to trust you, Father, to be born in the flesh, live a life on the earth, a sinless life, trusted you to go to the cross, trusted you to go to the grave, and ascended on high 50 days after he was on the cross. And so, God, words came to express how grateful we are for Jesus. And Jesus, we love you. Thank you for being such an example for us, and help us to endeavor to do that just like you. We pray in your name. Amen.
Good morning. One of my favorite parts of the time around Christmas time is that we get to sing Christmas songs for worship. So the first song we're going to sing today is "Angels We Have Heard on High." Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria in excelsis Deo. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song? Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria in excelsis Deo. Come to Bethlehem and see Him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. See within a manger laid Jesus, Lord of heaven and earth. Mary, Joseph, lend your aid. With us sing our Savior's birth. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria Excelsis Deo. All right. Will you please be standing for the next song? I heard the bells on Christmas Day. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. You may be seated. Next song we will sing is O Come All Ye Faithful. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exultation. O sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. O Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Silent night, holy night, is come, all is bright round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia, Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light, with the angels let us sing alleluia to our King. Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born. And then come up for communion.
Good morning. So, yesterday I had a good day with the older two boys. Paige went shopping with her mom and Theo. And then Jackson, Dean, and I went and got a load of wood and just had fun, and they got some energy out. And then last night we were getting ready for bed, and we have this little shepherd. It's kind of like Elf on a Shelf, and you go hide it and whatnot. My two sister-in-laws are really good and creative with that. I'm really just find a spot for it, and they can find it the next day. But every day you're supposed to read a story that goes along with the Christmas story and how it started and how it ended. And yesterday's, I felt really, really stuck out to me. It goes on to say or talk about how in the opening of Luke, angels come and see four people. They come see Zechariah, tell him that Elizabeth's going to give birth to John the Baptist. They come see Mary and tell her she's going to give birth to Jesus. They come see Joseph and tell him to continue to be with Mary. And then they come to the shepherds, which that's the passage I'm going to read. Starting in Luke 2, verse 8, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be your sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angels left and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that had happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. So it spoke that the angels came to these four people, came to these shepherds, and this is the comparison it made. And this is something I can think from my childhood, is in the morning and in the evening, the news channel was always on. Don't know why. I think it was just kind of drowned out stuff or something. I don't know why. News reporters and everything bring you news of what's going on around the world. But can we be news reporters of God and spread the good news? These shepherds were news reporters of God. They were going around telling everybody how great he was and he was here. So do you think that we can do that? I think it's our duty as Christians to tell the good news. I know we haven't had an angel come to us and say, "Hey, you need to go do this." But I'm sure we've had a fellow Christian say, "Hey," talk about their story, say, "Hey, this is what happened to me. This is how God helped me." And that's good news. And this time of the year, I can't think of what better way to spread good news than the birth of Jesus. And along with the birth, you can't discredit the sacrifice that he eventually gave up. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. We thank you for the many blessings. And we thank you for the wonderful news that Jesus Christ is our Savior, Lord. We love you. In your Son's name. Amen.
carry the weight of the world, and the hands that formed it hardly more than a child yourself. Joseph, those cards, don't you fold them, this hand that you've been dealt. The hand you're holding is more than you bargained for. But don't go walking out that door.
Today we're talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Next week we're talking about Joseph, the stepdad of Jesus. Just that mic seemed a little hot. I think being a mom is one of the most challenging jobs that a woman will ever hope to love to have. And as I contemplated the motherhood of Mary this week, I looked up a couple things on the internet about moms, and perhaps you'll appreciate some of these things that came across, that I came across, that you'll like. So here's some of these quotes. I love all my children equally, except for the one who sleeps. I love that one more. I love my kids, but not enough to flip the chicken nuggets halfway through cooking, but I love them. Motherhood means that half the time I feel like I'm running a mental facility and the other half feels like I belong in one. Good moms let you lick the beaters after making brownies. Great moms turn them off first. The first baby, you start wearing maternity clothes as soon as the test is positive. The second baby, you wear your regular clothes for as long as possible. The third baby, your maternity clothes are your regular clothes. The first child eats dirt, mom calls the doctor. Second child eats dirt, mom cleans out their mouth. Third child eats dirt, mom wonders if she still needs to make lunch. Dorothy off the Golden Girls, you might remember Dorothy off the Golden Girls, she said this, "It's not easy being a mother. If it were easy, fathers would do it." Finally, motherhood is like Cinderella, but in reverse. You begin in a beautiful ball gown and end up in stained rags cleaning up after people. Motherhood. We're going to be talking about motherhood today and how a young woman named Mary was given the opportunity to carry the Son of God in the flesh. Now, in many respects, her pregnancy was no fairy tale, but in all respects, her pregnancy was divinely appointed by God. And I've shared with you already that we're talking about four characters this Christmas, and these four characters have already been Zacharias. Today is who's the father of John the Baptist. Today is Mary, and then next week is Joseph, and finally we're going to talk about Jesus. And on Christmas Eve, we're going to have two characters we're going to talk about. Christmas Eve service is, by the way, 6 p.m. here on Christmas Eve night. And so our life is not unlike Mary. Our life is not unlike Mary, and I'll tell you why. Because Mary, she was granted the opportunity to carry around Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in the flesh in her womb. And your life is not unlike her life, and I'll tell you why. Because you as a Christian, if you're an immersed believer in Christ, as a Christian, you also have been allowed to carry around Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in your heart. You've been allowed that opportunity. And so because of that, I want to share with you what it means for us to do that as Christians. In the Bible, it's also going to be on the screen. You're going to see in 2 Corinthians 4:10. Let's read this together, okay? We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. That's 2 Corinthians 4:10. So Mary, she carried around in her body the life of Jesus so that Jesus could be born to die. That's what Mary did. Here's what you and I do as Christians, okay? We're also allowed to carry in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus could be born to live. If you're following along your sermon outline, you can see how you can fill those blanks in as we're traveling along with the message today. And so as Christians, we're given this opportunity to carry around Christ in our body, the death of Christ in our body, all right? And when I read this verse here, can you read the underline when we get to the underline, okay? I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his inner spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And of course, that's found in Ephesians 3:16-17. So how does a person come to have faith in Christ that Christ may dwell where? In your heart. How does that happen? I do not believe one can have a faith in God unless they develop a fear of God. I don't think that's possible. And we learned last week with Zechariah and that message there, that Deuteronomy 10 passage, okay? It says, what does the Lord your God require from you but to what to say? Fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today for your good. So God requires all these things, but the first thing he requires of us is what? To fear him. That's the first thing. And so maybe today this is the first time you've heard ever that we're supposed to fear God. You are. You're supposed to fear God. It's a commandment. That's the first thing that happens in anybody who develops a faith in God and in turn Jesus Christ. So today we get the opportunity to look at Mary. We're going to look at Mary, and I believe she modeled a fear of God in such a way that allowed her the opportunity to carry Jesus in her womb. And so I'm asking you a question. Would you like to be wise? Would you like to be wise in how to carry the life of Jesus in your heart? Would you like to be wise? I do. I want to be a wise person how to carry the Lord Jesus in my heart. And so last week, we also discovered this verse in Proverbs 9:10. All right, let's read this together. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So if you and I want to be a wise person when it comes to carrying the Lord Jesus in our heart, we first have to have what? The fear of who?
the fear of the Lord. We got to have that, okay? And so as we contemplate that together, our first point we're going to make today is this: to fear God is to recognize your place before God, which is a bond slave. And so if you're with me in Luke 1, look in Luke 1, starting in verse 26, that's where we're going to start there. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." This is verse 34. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born and be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is what with God? Impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. I found this online. I think it was a Twitter account now called X, of course. Snarky Mommy 78 said this. "I feel like I'd be a better parent if I didn't have to do it every day." You ever feel like that sometimes? And so as much as most moms feel like they've failed at being a mom, I cannot imagine the sudden thrust of motherhood placed upon a teenager named Mary. Suddenly thrust upon her was the carrying of the Son of God in the flesh. I do not know what day of the week this happened with the conversation between Mary and the angel Gabriel, but I get the impression that the day before that conversation, Mary never considered that she'd be carrying the Son of God, ever. So can you imagine the catch-up of the mindset that Mary had to have in order to have this child that she's carrying? And we get to see several things about Mary as we look at her and her heart, and God reveals that to us as we look at Mary in this course of action in Luke 1. And just what you hear is just some of these staggering statements that this young woman heard. Just listen to this. As an angelic being shows up wherever she was, I don't know where she was, but this angelic being shows up and starts saying some of these staggering statements. Listen to these. "Favored one. The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid. You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son and call him Jesus." Someone once said this, that having a weird mom builds character. I think Mary's a weird mom. Can you imagine growing up and say, "Hey, Jesus, how did you get here?" "Well," then you had to explain. Had to explain what? Well, you had to explain that, we'll look in verse 34 with me again. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." I'm sure Jesus heard that story. Mary had never been with a man. It's impossible for her to have a child, and yet she is pregnant with Jesus. There's no physical way that should have happened. And listen to the continuing staggering statements that Mary heard from this Gabriel. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Your child will be holy and called the Son of God." Elizabeth, in her old age, is now 6 months pregnant. Nothing will be impossible with God. Now, if you were Mary, a teenage girl, what would be running through your mind at this point? Oh, man, can you imagine? Fear, anxiety, all sorts of things. I think it'd be easy. Let me ask you a question. When you have fear and anxiety, how well do you remember things? Not too good, right? I think it's easy to forget a lot of things because I consider what Mary just heard in this conversation with Gabriel. She's like drinking from a fire hose with all the information coming to her. I like what a mom's recipe for iced coffee is. Have you heard this? A mom's recipe for iced coffee. Have kids, make coffee, forget you made coffee, drink it cold. Because you forget. You forget. Yet as I look at Mary, it's incredible to me and even incredulous that as she has this engagement with Gabriel, her heart says something that she does not forget. And I think it's valuable for us to remember what Mary remembered. Look in verse 38. She says, "I am the Lord's servant." May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Now, sometimes translations are just translations. There are people who have put together the scriptures, and they do the best they can to make a more readable language. And I look at that word servant. And while servant's an okay word, if you look up the actual Greek in the New Testament, it means doulos. Anybody familiar with the word doulos? It means a slave. Servant's an okay word. It's subtle. But slave, it's more guttural and visceral. It's slave. Mary knows that when she's standing in the presence of Gabriel and God says through Gabriel, this is what's going to happen, Mary responds, how? I'm a slave. What else can I say? So let me ask you a quick question when you think about slavery. How many slaves are masters of their own life? None. How many slaves have rights that must be honored? None. How many slaves have the right to refuse their master? None. Slaves don't have rights, okay? And Mary says, I'm a slave to the Lord God. And so Mary carried in her body, because she says, I'm a bondservant to God, I'm a slave to God, this is going to happen. She carried in her body the life of Jesus so that Jesus could be born to live. You are no different than Mary. In this sense, we carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus could be born to live. And we saw that in our scriptures already. Okay, let's read this again. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. That's what you and I do. And so as you and I carry around the death of Jesus in our body, we got to do that in how many Christmases? Every single one you encounter from next Christmas to next Christmas, we're doing every day. So from the first Christmas to this Christmas, we must have a fear of God to consider yourself a slave to God to carry Jesus in your heart. Okay? Second thing I see in Mary is this. To fear God is to give God his due worship. To fear God is to give God his due worship. There are some things that are just true the moment you hear them. I'll give you a couple of quotes, see if you think they're true. There are some things just true when you hear them. You know you're a mom when you legit have favorite episodes of Bluey. True? True. You know you're a mom when your baby looks like a model and you're on day three of the same sweatpants. Here's another absolute truth. God is to be worshipped. Amen? God is to be worshipped. Mary is still under the old covenant. We read about her in the New Testament, which is the book of Luke, but the cross hasn't happened. The ascension hasn't happened, and the resurrection after the cross hasn't happened. And so because of that, Mary's still under the Old Covenant. So anything prior to Acts 2 in the New Testament is still on the Old Covenant. And so she's still living under the Old Covenant, which means she's following the commandments of what testament? The Old Testament, okay? And so no doubt she's probably heard these words, and she might have even had a rare chance to read it, but she's heard these words. Let's read this together. You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. That's Deuteronomy 6:13. And so what comes before the worship of God, what's it say there? Fear God. Before the worship of God comes the fear of God. And what comes to our mind was to think of Mary. Well, why don't you listen to Mary's heart? It's in starting in verse 46 through 55. And some of your headings say the magnificent, okay? And Mary is drawn into a prayer. And this is what she says. My soul glorifies the Lord. This is now verse 47. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remember to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. And so if you look at Mary, I look in verse 46, and when I look at this verse here, I kind of dovetail them together. To fear God is to glorify God. That's verse 46. I look at verse 47. To fear God is to rejoice in God as your Savior. I look in verse 48. To fear God is to see your place as a humble slave. Now remember, Mary is not to be worshipped. Mary is a slave like you and I. She's not to be worshipped, but she is to be considered a model for how to fear God. I look at verse 49. To fear God is to acknowledge his mighty and holy image. Verse 50, to fear God is to recognize his mercy and the great things he has done for you and I. Verse 51 to 55, to fear God is to know he humbles the proud and exalts the humble. That's what God does. And so think about this for Mary. She carried in her body the life of Jesus so that Jesus could be born to die. What about us as Christians? We've already talked about it. We carry on our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus could be born to live. And you think, well, haven't we just read this verse? Yep, we're going to read it again. Here we go. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. How many Christmases should you do that on? Every single day, okay? So from the first Christmas to this Christmas, here's what we got to do, kids. You must have a fear of God to worship God, to carry Jesus in your heart. You've got to have a fear of God. The third thing I see of Mary today is this. To fear God is to treasure the things of God in your heart. To fear God is to treasure the things of God in your heart. They're just saying some things you don't know until you experience them. You just simply don't know them. And so I had a couple of thoughts I want to run by you when it comes to a mom. What do newborns and new moms have in common? You both go home with the hospital from the hospital in diapers. Let's try harder the next one. Here we go. Why do my kids never appreciate that I stayed up all night overthinking for them? And so this is what I found to be true. There are just some things you never expect as a mom, a parent, or even a person. Coming home from the hospital, that little funny thing, I thought it was funny anyway. And then two is, whether you have children of 2, 22, 32, or 62, guess what you do as parents? You stay up at night doing what? Thinking about them. I'm almost certain that when Mary became a mom, she never expected to see what she saw that night that her son, our Savior, was born. Now, she was told this. She was told that you're going to have a child, but how could anybody fully tell you what you're going to experience unless you experience? How would you know? And so look at Luke 2 with me. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Okay, Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Now, our family tradition is that we read this on Christmas morning. And I think our kids are like, boy, Dad, could you read it quicker? Because we want to open up our presents. But we read this before we had our Christmas time every morning of Christmas. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. This is verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shined around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for how many people?" All the people. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is who? Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, read this with me, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men with whom his favor rests." This is verse 15 now. When the angels had left him and gone into them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And so, as you think about Mary, what do you think she was pondering in her heart that day? What do you think? What was she pondering? What's going to happen? Well, the Bible tells us that Mary pondered all these things in her heart, and she thought about them and pondered them all in her heart. Okay, this is that verse 19. She treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, what things did she ponder about? Well, when she was having Jesus in that manger stall, and Joseph was there, who was the first to visit? The shepherds. What did the shepherds say? You'll never believe what just happened. We were out watching our sheep when this bright light showed up. I'd never seen a light like that before. And they told us to come to Bethlehem. When we got to Bethlehem, they said we'd find a child in a manger dressed in clothes. And here he is! And they said, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill to men. What do you think Mary said? I'm sure they were excited. And then they saw this child, just like the angel said. I'm sure they were reverent. And they bowed down in holy reverence to this child. And Mary, she didn't say a word. The Bible says what? She treasured and pondered these things in her heart. What did she treasure? Well, she treasured that there is good news of great joy. These angels showed up and said there's good news of great joy. Folks, how many of us need good news of great joy? And when you're a teenage girl having a baby and you're not married to the guy who's in the stall with you, don't you think you need good news of great joy? And then also think about this. A Savior has been born. Can you imagine having a child and someone coming up to you and say, your child's a Savior? What? And then the third thing she probably pondered was this, that these people were giving praise and glory to God. The angels of heaven are giving praise and glory to God. And so Mary's there with this brand new child, and she's trying to be a mom, and she's going to soon to be a wife to her betrothed husband, Joseph, and she's trying to figure out all these things. Because she's treasuring and pondering them where? Where? Quick question for you, kids. Here it goes. Where's your heart this morning? Do you have a heart today? Where's your heart? Can you point to your heart? Can you point to your heart? If we were to crack open that heart of yours, what would we find inside there? Would we find the good news of great joy in Jesus? Would we find that in your heart? If we also cracked open that heart, would we find who? Your Savior? If we cracked open that heart of yours and looked inside that, would we find that God is given praise and glory inside your heart? Because as I think about the model of Mary today, guess where all that's found? It's found in her heart. That's what Mary's doing. But see, something happens to us at times as Christians, and I know this is true for you because it's true for me, and we're all people together. And this is what I know. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:21. He says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And so whatever you're treasuring, that's what's going to be there. And so again, if we peered inside your heart today, what would we find as a treasure of your heart? What would we find as a treasure of your heart? If we peered inside Mary's heart on that first Christmas morning, that first Christmas day, what would we find in her heart? I think so, even though she just had him. And so Mary's treasuring all these things of God and pondering those things. But I know this is true again about you and I as people, because as I think about what happens at times, Jesus said this again, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. God says to guard your heart because the anxieties of life will do what to your heart? Won't you forget about Jesus? Haven't you noticed the older you've gotten with Christmas time that your heart becomes a little bit more wispy, your eyes become a little bit more misty when it comes to thinking about Christmas time? The older you get, have you found this to be true, that you know you're closer to your death than you was the day before? And as you think about your own life and the life of Jesus, aren't you now realizing that there are so many things in this world that can take you away, take your heart away from thinking about who? Thinking about who? Jesus. We have to be careful, kids. We got to be careful to guard our heart. Now, I want you to think about something real quick for a moment. Put yourself in Mary's shoes. You think she could have had some fear and anxiety about having the Son of God and she's not married yet? Sure. Could she have not guarded her heart? And if she had not guarded her heart, what would have weighed it down? fear and the anxieties of life. But she did guard her heart, and because she did guard her heart, what was she thinking about? So think about this. A weighed down heart, like Jesus is describing here, a weighed down heart will miss the good news of great joy. A weighed down heart will miss its Savior. A weighed down heart will miss the praise and glory of God. And so I ask the question today in church, because I want you to take it out of church, and what are you pondering in your heart? What are you pondering in your heart? Because if your heart is weighed down with the fear and anxieties of life, what are you going to miss? You're going to miss the good news of great joy. You're going to miss the Savior, and you're going to miss the praise and glory of God if you're weighed down with the anxieties of your heart. I think this is why you and I have to read this verse together, okay? Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. That's in Proverbs 4:23. If you don't guard your heart, what's going to happen with the Savior of the world? You'll miss him. You'll miss him. And so guard your heart. Understand that your heart can do lots of things in your life, and a guarded heart is a dangerous heart. And so I believe Mary had a biblical fear of God, and in turn she guarded her heart to experience the good news of great joy, her Savior whom she just had, and the glorious praise of God. And so as you and I contemplate the reality of that first Christmas, here's what we got to do, okay? From the first Christmas to this Christmas, you must have a fear of God to treasure the things of God to carry Jesus in your heart. You've got to do that. You've got to guard your heart. It's got to be done. I've got a story I want to share with you, and there's probably just a few people in this room that could understand the image I'm about to show you. This took place probably around 1976, around 1977, on our farm in Shelby County. And my dad and I and my younger middle brother, John, went rabbit hunting together. And we went rabbit hunting in this rig right here. Any guys in this room tell me what that is? What is it? A Plymouth what? A Plymouth Duster. You can tell a Mopar guy in any room, I'm telling you. Anyway, it's old Plymouth Duster, probably about a 1972 model, okay? And it looked just like that. I can remember that green car and that stripe down it, and I think it had those sparkly things in the paint too. Well, anyway, my dad and myself and my brother and I were rabbit hunting. And back in the 70s, you ate rabbits because we needed to. And so we were hunting rabbits, and Dad says, and it's about this time of year, in fact, probably first part of December, really about this time of year. So this has probably been a long time ago. Anyway, we were hunting rabbits, a little light snow on, and Dad shot a couple rabbits. And this is why you take children hunting with you, because when you kill rabbits, you hand them the rabbits. Okay, you're not packing them; you hand it to them. And so I was packing some rabbits. So, hey, Dad, can I take the rabbits back to the car? And Dad says, sure, go ahead. Just put them in the trunk. Okay. So I said, great. So put them in the trunk. I don't remember how to get the trunk open on a 1972 Duster. I don't remember that at all. There could have been a button somewhere, but I doubt it. Probably had to use a key. But I remember going to the back of the trunk, and as I opened up the trunk, my eyes went. And this is what I saw. I saw that guy right there. Does anybody know what a Stretch Armstrong is? Anybody know what a Stretch Armstrong is? And then as I looked at the box, I was certain it was this guy, Stretch Armstrong. As a matter of fact, I borrowed these images off of eBay, and that particular Stretch Armstrong right there is now on a bidding auction on eBay for $2,500. Wish I still had mine. Anyway, I looked and went, I thought, I'm not supposed to see this. And so what do? I don't remember what I did, but I think I did something like this. I think I put the rabbits in there, and as I put the rabbits in there and I went to shut the trunk, I hear this, Jeff, what are you doing? Like, I put the rabbits in the trunk. You're not supposed to put them there. It's like, okay, where are you supposed to put them? And Dad had hid, I think I got one Christmas present that year, and that was it. Dad hid that Christmas present in the back of that old Duster, and guess what I found out? I found out my gift, and I was in trouble. You know, I hollered at, I don't remember if Dad did anything beyond that, but I was in trouble. I'm happy to say that that unlike what my kids do when they were at home, they would find their gifts, and Stephanie wouldn't give it to them until their birthday 6 months later. But anyway, which I think is a great idea. I did get Stretch Armstrong for Christmas, one of the great, best Christmases I ever had with my parents, but I got in trouble for finding the gift. And so why did I bring that up today? Any idea what the greatest gift you can get? It's forgiveness of sin. And is it hidden in the back of a 1972 Plymouth Duster? It's not. It's not. It was came to you that first Christmas through a girl named Mary, and she had that child in the manger, and the shepherds showed up that day, and they began to understand something, that there's good news of great joy. They didn't know what that meant, but now you know what it means. The good news of great joy is I can be forgiven of sin. And if you find that gift and are shocked to see it, will you get yelled at? What are you doing? You need forgiveness? Sure do. And so I don't know where you are today as far as your faith in Christ and how the gift of Christ strikes you in this moment, but this is what I know. You don't have to look in the back of a Plymouth Duster to find Jesus. You can find him right here. And today, if you have not made a decision for Jesus Christ and been baptized into his name, I don't know why today couldn't be that day to do it. I just don't know why. And so I want to encourage you as we come to our closing song. Alex, can you play Come All You Faithful for a closing? If you want to come up and do that. I want you to know this as Alex starts to prep for that song. Jess, we'll put the Come All You Faithful song. I recognize that you're not faithful to Jesus, because who is? Nobody is. But who's faithful to you? Jesus is. If you come to him by faith and believe on him for the forgiveness of sin, he's faithful to do what? He's faithful to forgive you. That's way better than a Stretch Armstrong and a Plymouth Duster. Way better. Let's stand together. I want to pray with you. God, we love you and give you praise for being kind to us. And God, it's funny to think of old memories. And what's not funny, Lord, is that sometimes the gift of Christmas, which is Jesus, goes unopened. We don't open that gift, and we just leave the gift in the back of that old duster. So, God, I don't know who's listening either today, here in person or online, but I'm sure there's someone who needs to hear that thought process that says, how come I haven't chose to place my faith in Jesus? What would prevent me from even today being immersed into you, Jesus, for forgiveness of my sin? I can't imagine a better Christmas than unpacking that gift of forgiveness. And so, Father, as we move into our day, help us to be those people who carry around the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be born to those around us. Help us to be faithful, because we know we're not. Thank you, Jesus, so very much. We pray in your name. Amen.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exultation. O sing all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we grieve. thee born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
children, grinning from ear to ear, singing Christmas time is here.
And everybody's like, ha, 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 ho, ho, ho. Four-wheel driving through the snow, fighting the cold with some hot cocoa. Grabbing grandma to the mall we go. And there's a man outside with a bucket and a bell. Wants to go home with a story to tell. He's reminding us that his Christmas got nothing to do with living for himself. It's the light of Christmas shining through my eyes, our smiles, you know it could. We're bowing down.